And what you're learning in these other classes are great. It teaches you how to learn. It teaches you the framework. But this is one that's going to teach you how to make money. By the way, which one do you think is more important? And I mean, I'm teaching a 14-year-old, which you were just sitting there talking about a second ago. I think sometimes as adults, we've not figured out how to turn that brain off and figure out, how do I get money coming in automatically?
One of the most important things I've learned in my life is that a person can achieve all their goals, they can be wealthy, and still not be fully free. As I climbed the wealth ladder and grew a company that was one of the most successful real estate investment companies of its kind here in St. Louis, Missouri, on the outside, I had everything I had dreamed of. The beautiful wife, nicer car than I thought I'd drive, nicer home, beautiful kids. And yet, on the inside, I didn't really feel any different. I still felt, quite frankly, like a slave. I was chasing money. I was chasing my next goal. And when I hit the goal, I wouldn't take the time to celebrate it. And I didn't know how to fully enjoy the journey along the way. So as I've aged, I've gotten curious, you know, how do we make our entire lives wealthy and not just one component of it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview the guests on this show. And yeah, we're going to talk about what they've done and what their stories are and how they've become financially wealthy. But also, I want to dig into their relationship with money and their relationships with other and if they have more joy and fulfillment than when they started out, or if they don't, and why or why not. So thanks for tuning in. We got a great guest coming for you. Let's get started. Hey guys, Jim Manning here again. Welcome to another episode of the Passive Wealth Show. Today we have Russ Morgan on the line. Russ owns a bunch of different businesses as an investor, not an operator, but as a investor and loves to influence different businesses. And he also has a really popular podcast himself called Wealth Without Wall Street. So Russ, thank you for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. And why don't you just kind of give a little bit better introduction than what I just did, and so we get started with the conversation.
Man, that's the best introduction from one podcaster to the next. Like, the simpler, the better, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. I'll give you just a quick backstory, not one that my mom would tell her friends, right? Just the short one. I was a certified financial planner at one point in time. So when you hear Wealth Without Wall Street, I feel like I have credence to speak bad about it because I was in it. I got to see it firsthand. And the market crashed in 2008. And I literally thought up to that point, I was a financial genius. And a financial genius, Jim, is when you're in a rising market. And we got a lot of financial geniuses out there right now. I was right. One in the early 2000s. And until 2008, when the market crashed, I thought I had it all whipped. And I realized that all the paradigms, all the things that I'd been professionally trained to research and understand really were a sham. They were not actually true. A lot of those things were broken models that were just based on old information. And the worst part about this, Jim, is that when everything started going bad, I started going to my mentors, the people that I looked up to, and asked them what was going on and why would it not happen again? And none of them had answers. So that sent me on this path to saying, hey, I'm not okay with that. As a business owner, professional, I'm not okay not understanding what's going on with my money and why it won't go down or potentially lose again. Like, what are those quote unquote black swan events? And along that journey, I learned a lot of different ideas. One of them is that I need to have access to my money. I don't need to be handing it over without understanding of how it works and what will make sure that it comes back to me. I also learned that financial freedom is when your passive income exceeds your monthly expenses. And I didn't have any of that passive income at that time. I didn't have that passive wealth. I had a lot of active income, a lot of accumulated assets, but no passive income. And my business partner and I connected in 2014. We ultimately built Wealth Without Wall Street in 2016 and started a podcast. And for the last 4 years, we've been publishing our personal passive income reports to the world and showing them what we're doing and saying, hey, if two rednecks from Alabama can do this, you can too. And just helping people become better investors is our passion. Helping a million people is our goal, to people who want to become financially free, get there faster.
So I love that. One of my favorite sayings is net worth fuels the ego. passive income puts fuel in your car. You know, like,
so good.
But okay, so you said, let's circle back really quick. So you mentioned like you were an expert, then the market went down, and then feeling like it was a little bit of like a sham. Like, what's one particular strategy that you believed in that then when the market shifted, you realized, man, this isn't as good as I thought?
Yeah, I'd been taught the buy and hold model, right? It didn't matter what the market was doing as long as you were in there long enough, right? It was the, you know, the bad haircut concept. We got it. If it went down for a period of time, it would be better. Just give it time. And what I understood is that when the market crashed, it was really, that was just one of the symptoms, but underlining there was all these economy issues that were impacting people in a day-to-day business. You own a company that was built off of bad information, and then it went away, right? Maybe you built your financial models off lines of credit, and the banks seized or froze those lines of credit or reduced or cut them off all together. And what we saw is that people who thought that they were financially healthy because they had certain maybe assets in these investment accounts or businesses that were running successfully. And when things went bad, they were financially fragile. And I had not considered that in my world, right? Like, I had not thought through that me giving away and hoping, you know, for this 30 to 40 year period of time to run its course was not really going to make me any more financially successful. It wasn't until I understood that financial freedom was when your passive income was greater than monthly expenses. So it was like, quit thinking, how do I make return on investment? How do I get return of investment?
Yeah. And how do I have that utility? Well, that's fascinating. So then you started on this journey and now you're publishing the different income strategies. What are some of the passive income strategies that you believe in now?
Well, I believe in a lot of different. Let me put a disclaimer that don't necessarily do what I'm doing, because what I'm doing doesn't mean you have all the same resources, networks, opportunities. We use this acronym called the Redneck Motor: money, opportunity, time, experience, and relationships. And you're like, Russ, that's not motor. Well, it is in Alabama. That's how a redneck would spell it, M-O-T-E-R. Right? So we actually came across this concept called investor DNA, which is we all have a unique personality profile that helps us shape every decision we make. And so mine specifically, if you understand the DISC model at all, D-I-S-C, I am the I. I'm the influencer. I love being involved, right? I love, I'm very optimistic toward things. Also, my downfall is that I struggle on actually details, right? Like, I go in hard at everything and then I want to go do something else. I'm also never satisfied. It's always, how do we improve the process? That's good for visionaries. It's terrible for operations and integration. You need some of that. And I learned early on is that the investments that I was making when I first started in this journey of building passive income, the first property I bought, Jim, was a long-term rental at my college town. I bought it from a buddy of mine who was a successful real estate investor. And I thought, oh, well, real estate, success, those go together. I should just do that. And I bought this property expecting the same successes that he had. And what I experienced was something different. Not because real estate was a bad strategy, it's that I bought a property, put a property manager in place. I had no influence or involvement in the deal. Well, it didn't match who I was. So I got bored with it really quickly. And because I want to go fast, because that's my profile, mm-hmm. I was like, man, if I don't like it at one unit, why am I going to like it with 100? That was my thought. And so I didn't do any more of it. And I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited. It's like, well, this is what passive income looks like. I'm just not going to do it. It wasn't until I realized, no, this concept of having your own investor DNA dictates how much you will invest and how much time you'll invest. And when I learned that, one of the first businesses we started, we actually got in the short-term rental business. And for some people, they're like, oh, that's a disaster. Why would you do that? Well, we were recognizing there was an opportunity for travel through Birmingham, people coming in town, working with big, huge hospital community here, banking community here. There was a lot of people coming into Birmingham, staying for weeks at a time and then traveling out. we also had a lot of, in the Southeast, a lot of the different, you know, school sports come to here, whether it's baseball, football, softball, volleyball, that they come here and they stay for a week at a time ago. So we actually built a short-term rental business that had 26 units at one point in time before we sold it. And we were having a lot of success in that. Well, I love that because it matched my ability to influence outcome. We hired an operator, had somebody that was actually running the operations, but we could influence the outcome by going on and talking about it on social media, working with networks to bring people into that business and allow them to handle it. Another one that I got involved in with, I don't know, have you ever heard of this concept of land flipping or land investing, where you go and buy a raw piece of land, you turn around and sell it on terms?
Yeah, I mean, I've been exposed to it, but that is one of the types I have never done a deal on. I don't think we've ever done a deal like that before.
So we had this guy on our podcast. His name is Mark Podolsky. He's the land geek. And he was teaching us about how he had been doing this and had probably done 6,000 transactions at the time. Yeah, you heard me right. 6,000 transactions where he was buying raw vacant land in the middle of nowhere. So not necessarily, not like a infill lot in the middle of, you know, downtown St. Louis or whatever. Like this is something that is in the middle of, you know, New Mexico in the desert or whatever. Who wants that land? Well, somebody does. Well, somebody currently owns it and they usually own it and they live out of state. So they have no real emotional attachment to it. They bought it for whatever reason in the past. And sometimes they even owe taxes on it that they haven't paid in a year or so. So we actually mail them letters, buy the land from them, and we value it based upon what other land is selling in that area. Not on MLS, because this is a very inefficient marketplace, what other land investors are selling. So if your land was worth, say, $10,000 based upon what other people are selling it for, we're going to make you an offer for $2,500. And you accept our offer because you've own this land and you keep paying taxes on it every year and using it and not even using it. So then we turn around and we put it on Facebook, Craigslist, and other land sites and sell it to someone for, say, $400 or $500 down and $200 or $300 a month for the next 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so we have bought hundreds and hundreds of properties this way and have turned those pieces of raw land into passive income streams. Right, where we're buying an asset for a fourth of its value, turn around and selling it on notes, and we do land contracts. So that way, in the event that someone were to stop paying us, which about 25 to 30% of the people do, we try to work it out with them. We try to make it right. But in the event that they can't keep it, they have not built a house on it, so we're not evicting someone. We end the contract, we turn around, put it back on the same sites, find another buyer, and keep going down the road. We've been doing that. That's probably one of our more successful ones. We average somewhere between $30,000 to $35,000 a month in note income off of those properties, depending on the defaults for that specific month. So that's another one that's been really successful.
All right. So the land flipping. So then do you have an operator that's kind of handling that and doing all that? Or are you involved at all?
Yeah. So we have an operator. We went through the whole process ourselves to learn how to do the business. And we try to put our own operator in place initially who didn't know the business. We try to get them trained. This person wanted to flip houses. We're like, well, what's the difference between houses and land? It's flipping. There was a lot of difference. We didn't understand the investor DNA concept completely at that time when we did that. Otherwise, we would have realized that our operator was not the right operator. So ultimately, we end up partnering with an existing operation, like another group who was already doing this successfully. And once we understood the business, then we formed a really nice partnership, because now we can help add value to the business because we understand it. But more importantly, they are running the business and using all of their systems and teams. So it's been a fantastic partnership for us, because that's really what we love to do. We just love to own different businesses that we understand and have the ability to influence either through marketing or management.
Well, that's fantastic. So then how long did it take you guys to build it up to the level it is now? Did it start out a little bit smaller and then has grown and grown, or like what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, it hockey sticked pretty quickly. I mean, we started that business in 2020, so we're 4 years in now and have seen it rise, you know, really quickly. I think at the end of the first year, we were somewhere around $9,000 to $10,000 a month in passive, and it's just continued to grow and grow. It's the hard part of that business is that you're buying really small pieces of land. I mean, like I said, 10,000, to be honest, that it's like a really expensive property. A lot of the properties we buy are probably between $3,000 and $6,000 a piece. And those are just the very easy things to get bought, you know, and turn around and sell. And so because of that, it just, you know, you end up just turning a lot of cash. And so we just keep just buying land and turning it over. It's one of those things where I feel like, you know, over the next 3 to 4 years, we'll probably get it to somewhere around 50 to 60,000 a month. As kind of our goal for it.
Yeah. Then you'll just start pocketing more of it rather than reinvesting a lot of it.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay. So you got the land stuff, and then do you, what else do you guys do for passive income?
So we invest in syndications. We are passive LPs in deals. And we love, you know, we run a passive income mastermind. And so part of that is that we get access to a lot of different deal flow, and we get to see a lot of operators in their space that are really good at their trade. And so we've invested in, again, pretty much anything from multifamily, self-storage, mobile home parks, RV. I mean, it's lots of different syndications that we've invested in over the years.
And you're not, I mean, I feel like a lot of people get tempted to just do their own deals, and you guys decided, hey, we're going to be more passive with it. You mentioned like an awareness of like, hey, we like to be the passive investors, not really operate it. How did you learn that lesson that was what was best for you and Joey to do that?
A number of investments that we made early on where we were trying to be involved in the operation itself, like the actual management and day-to-day, we saw us failing to focus on it, right? I mean, I think unless it's going to becomes your active job in that regard. And we already had active incomes in other businesses. And we realized that we couldn't be good at two things. We'd only be good at one. And every time we tried to do something, give you an example, we tried to get in the cattle business. And we had no business, so even though we're rednecks from Alabama, we know zero about cattle other than, you know, ordering a good steak or hamburger, right?
Yeah.
And we were showing up at auctions trying to buy a specific breed of cow. We were, you know, partnering with farms to be the one where the cows lived, and, you know, dealing with their, you know, we had bulls. We were trying to syndicate bull semen. I mean, you name it. Like, we're trying to get involved in all these different things. And ultimately, all we were doing was investing in the economy in that world, because we were paying a lot of people to do things, but we were not making any money. And that's just a prime example. I could give you three or four others, but that was a prime example of us trying to operate a business. And it was like, this is not going to work. And I wasn't interested in that. I mean, also outside of going to an auction, if you've never been to a cattle auction, you should go. It's a lot of fun just listening and watching people. But outside of that, it was not really that interesting to us. And I thought, man, we've got to find a strategy that our giftings and our interests are aligned. And ultimately, I think that's why people have more success than others, is because they get their interest and their excitement aligned with what they're investing in. So they'll spend a lot more time, they'll spend a lot more money. And ultimately, the results follow that, right? They have expertise in that. And so they see better results, they invest more money, they have more money with those results. It's natural that they have more success.
That's right. So it was really through the school of hard knocks. Like, you didn't have it figured out up front. You had to learn the hard way.
Totally.
I've had similar experiences with different investment strategies too, where we, you know, like we, what did we do? We were flipping a bunch of houses, and we got up to 250 houses in one of the years back in like 2016, 2017. And then we realized, man, we're just getting the hamster wheel going faster because we're flipping all these houses. We're not building the passive wealth that we need to, you know? And it was kind of like, man, we just did double the amount of work, and we ended up netting a little bit less than the year before when we did 125 flips. And we're just like, man, what is the, like we need to reevaluate here what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right. We need to think this through a little bit more rather than just stroking the ego and being able to say, oh, well, we did more flips than anyone in our city. You know, I would love to think that maybe we can help share some of these lessons so you guys listening in don't have to make some of the same mistakes, right? If you could just think through it a little bit. And I've always found our most valuable resource is time. Mm-hmm. And yet we value it so little sometimes as investors and decide to start trying to sling cow semen.
Right. I mean, how many times have you had that said on the podcast, right?
Like this is the first, hopefully not last though.
Yeah. Man, I could give you lots of firsts, I'm sure, but that's, yeah. I have a buddy of mine. I mean, he makes a couple $1 million a year, and we're talking the other day, and he's telling me about some house he and his buddy and his wife are flipping. And I'm like, okay, how much money are you guys going to make off this deal, right? And like, what's your end goal with this? Where are you going with this? Why are you spending this time to try to make what in his world is really not that big of a difference? And I'm like,
that's right. It's not going to matter at all. He's going to have to pay a crazy amount of taxes for whatever profit he makes.
And he's complaining to me about how sore he is from having to do some landscaping. I'm like, I don't cut my own grass. Like, I mean, and you're at a flip house putting in, you know, new plants and shrubbery and stuff like that. I'm like, what are you doing? But you're right. We just don't value our time. And Kiyosaki, we were talking about that earlier, is that Kiyosaki has this great cash flow quadrant. And he says the E quadrant works for money, right? That's how they make money. They work for money. The S quadrant, which is represents probably 99.5% of all people who have a business license, right, is the S quadrant. They work hard for money, right? That's the person. That was my wife as a dentist, working 70, 80 hours a week, not in the dental practice, but afterwards, right? Having to be the HR managers, the payroll manager, the facilities manager. Well, the B quadrant, that person gets other people to work for money. Mm-hmm. But it's not until you get into that I quadrant where you have money working for money. That's where it makes sense. And to be honest, we also know is that the I quadrant is the one who pays the least amount of taxes of all four of them. Yeah. So how fast can we become that person?
That's right. And it's the quadrant where you make the most amount of money typically too, right?
Yeah. I had a friend of mine that's in so we have a passive income mastermind company. And he sent me a text about 2 weeks ago, said, bro, I made twice as much money in 2023 as I did in 2022, and I paid half as much in taxes. Mm-hmm. He's like, thank you for introducing me to all of these different ideas and people. My life has changed forever. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was talking to an investor. We'll have investors bring like 15, 20 house portfolios to us. I was breaking down if you transition to into our lease purchase model. I was like, dude, you can make work less, pass it through our real estate fund and kind of let us operate everything and literally make $15,000 a month more than you're making now. He's like, his head was blown. He's like, wait, what? And I was like, wait, no, but I gotta do all this. I gotta do all, you know. It's like, no, you don't. That's not. You get the right strategy and you get someone else that can operate and do it well. You don't have to work so hard. But, you know, maybe I go back to schooling, man. Like I've thought about this a lot and like why people are hardwired to do it. And in school, like it's all about you filling out the bubbles in the test, you knowing the answers and collaboration and asking other people for their opinion. There's times where you can do that, but a lot of the times that's called cheating and you're not actually allowed to, right? And so then we get into the real world where collaboration is one of the most powerful, and the relationship building is probably the most powerful skill set you can develop in the entire world. But like, it's not the natural ebb and flow to it, you know, like, well, no, I'm a oral surgeon and took me 20 years to get to where I'm at today, but it was on me and my back and my knowledge. So now if I want to be financially free, I got to be the guy that turns around and does all of the work. And you know, that's not the case. What got you where you are doesn't necessarily get you to that next level and to that investor circle where you're really making a lot of the big bucks. And it does hurt our ego a little bit, right? Like you want to be the CEO or the Mark Zuckerbergers of the world and like getting all that glory, not the guy behind the scenes that made just as much or, you know, many times more money than what the front guy did, right?
Right.
That's operating it. But, oh man, it's a great way to do it though.
Well, it's, here's the challenge. I'm sure maybe you might agree with this or not, but I think there's so often times we're good at making money in our own businesses and we have no system or process to turn active income into passive income. And that's why we make so many mistakes. Like we've never been trained how to do anything different. You talked about school. So every Wednesday I have four kids and I take each one of them to breakfast every Wednesday morning so that way throughout the month, I get at least, you know, some one-on-one time with them. And it's hard as a parent that runs businesses. And I was having that conversation with my 14-year-old today. I said, we homeschool, but she still does a little co-op. And I was like, how much time are you investing right now in your vending machine business? So she's in the process of starting the vending machine business. She's got her first signed contract. She's ordering her first machine to be delivered. And I was like, how much time are you devoting into your vending machine business right now? And she's like, none. And I was like, well, let's just treat it like a class. Like how long does an average class take for you? She said about an hour and 20 minutes. I said, perfect. How many times a week do you spend in that class? She said, 2 times a week. I was like, great. Let's make your vending machine business an hour and 20 minutes, 2 times a week. And you'll study in it. You'll learn in it. You'll go through this process. And what you're learning in these other classes are great. It teaches you how to learn. It teaches you the framework. But this is one that's going to teach you how to make money. And I was like, by the way, which one do you think is more important?
Yeah.
And she's like, the one that teaches me how to make money. And I was like, fantastic. And she said, but I can't even drive yet, Dad. I can't even take this stuff to the place. I said, you know what? That's the least important thing in this business. And she looked at me crazy because in her eyes, her not being able to take the physical goods and put them into these, you know, AI camera refrigerators that I don't know if you've seen the new technology on vending machines, but like, it's amazing now. Like it's not the old school wire, like, you know, drop, hopefully it drops, stick your arm underneath there, you know, get your arm, you know, caught as you're trying to get it where it's hung up. No, this is like, you put your card on the door, you open the refrigerator door, you pick out all five items you want. It charges your card back. It closes. Like it's fantastic. And I was like, the least important thing is the person who drives to go fill this thing up. I was like, there's people all over the U.S. right now that do that for $10 to $20 an hour. I mean, any of your cousins who know how to drive could be our delivery driver. That's nothing.
That's right.
I was like, it's the person who understands how the business works, who gets new locations, who can facilitate the payments. All of that is the most important thing. Let's learn those things. And I mean, I'm teaching a 14-year-old, which you were just sitting there talking about a second ago. I think sometimes as adults, we've not figured out how to turn that brain off and figure out how do I get money coming in automatically and taking maybe active income and turn it into this passive income.
Yeah. And how do I make the most amount of money in the least amount of time? And, you know, $1,000 if it took you 100 hours to make it, that's not all that great. But $1,000 if it took you 10 minutes to make it. We're talking, right?
Right.
That's right. So, okay. So what else? I mean, you have a ton of resources, man. Like what, is there anything else you want to share while we got you?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that I think I mentioned a second ago, we built this system called the Passive Income Operating System. Mm-hmm. And its whole focus was to help business owners who want to become investors to know how to go through that process, stop making the mistakes that I was making early on. And I think if you are interested in any of the resources, I say, go to wealthwallstreet.com/passive wealth show and they're on there. But one of the, I think most powerful ones on there is this thing called Pious. And one of the things that we learned, Jim, as business owners, you and I, and everyone who runs a business who's listening, knows that the diagnostic tool that we absolutely have to have for our business to be successful is a profit and loss statement. right? Like you don't know how successful your business was and why, unless you're going through that on a monthly basis. And business owners, we don't, I mean, that's our ride or die deal. We have to have it. But when we ask business owners, okay, cool, that's so important, show me your family's P&L. They're like, about that, right? Like they've never even considered having a P&L for their family. They've never considered having a family balance sheet, right? The business has its own balance sheet with long-term assets, long-term liabilities. They've never even considered what that looks like for themselves. So we built this whole system that helps people both analyze their family's P&L, their family balance sheet, implement a strategy that has been vital in our world called infinite banking, and then connect the dots to where when they bring in a dollar actively, it automatically, while they're asleep, moves over to a place that starts getting them in a position where they can actually start producing passive income. And we systematize it. And the lift to create it is short, but once it's done, then it can be automated and used and scaled infinitely past that point. And that's what helped my business partner and I get to where we were over $50,000 a month of passive income, is that we were doing this process. We didn't have a fancy name for it at that time. We didn't realize that what we were doing was building an operating system for passive income until one of our business partners, who has, you know, had a 9-10 figure exit, says, I want that thing. This is what you're doing here. Show me how to do that. And we're like, oh, well, this is just kind of how we run our money. It's like, yeah, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen you guys do. So the passive income operating system, if you go to that website, whatswhatwallstreet.com/passive wealth show, that one strategy alone has been infinitely vital in our success.
Well, that's fantastic. So once again, it was wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/passive wealth show.
Yep.
Well, dude, thanks for coming on, man. And thanks for bringing the value. This has been incredible. Is there any closing thoughts that you have on your journey with building the passive income? Anything that you wish you knew when you started?
I wish I knew you, right? I wish I knew all of these ideas that existed that didn't live and breathe on the NASDAQ, the Dow, the NYSE, right? I wish I would have known that there was a way to learn how to become financially free, that I was smart enough. You know, I didn't need to have all these other degrees and other things to do it, that by listening to podcasts, like I'd never even listened to a podcast before we hosted our own first one. It was like, just the fact that someone's here listening and learning from you is the most amazing way to become financially free, is because you're gaining insight that can help take, you know, give you that action to get there.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again for coming on, man. And guys, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for tuning in. We have a website, passivewealthshow.com, where you can get more great content and resources. We offer a passive profit strategy session, and you can find that on our website as well, where we'll basically ask you a bunch of discovery questions and help you figure out if investing passively is a good thing for you or not. So go to our website, passivewealthshow.com, and we'll go from there.